Welcome to the season debut of Giants Online here on Giants.com. I'm Bob Papa. Each and every week, we will bring you a fresh perspective from beat reporters from the New York Giants, and we'll take your questions via Twitter at Giants. Joining me, as always, my co-host, the one, the only, Vice President of Communications, Pat Hanlon.
How were the Olympics?
Oh, they were great.
You're a little too close. We're going to have to move your seat back here.
I might get removed from the set.
Possible.
I promise. I won't stir it.
Welcome
up.
Back.
Welcome
home.
Pleasure to be home. Let's kick it around the room. He's joined us each and every year here on the program. He's Ralph Vacchiano from the New York Daily News. And can you believe the season's upon us already?
No, I can't believe the season is upon us. It went really quickly. I'm glad the preseason is over and I am all in. Or am I building a bridge? I get your sayings
bridge,
confused.
Bridge.
Maybe I'll just be finished. I know you'd prefer that.
Well, if you're all in, you can help finish the bridge.
That's
very
perfect.
Simple.
You're wearing that line out.
I know, aren't I? Paul Swartz from the New York Post joins us as well, and he's got his construction hat with him.
I'm not building anything, okay? I'm not building anything, but I'll tell you one thing. You better mind your manners when those replacement refs in that first game, or they may ask you to leave too if you're a little too critical.
Well,
okay?
as of this taping right now, there's some negotiations going on, so we'll see what happens. Let's talk about this football team there, Patty. They had to get down to 53.
What? First things first.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it won't come off. We're going to put this thing back in the sock drawer, right?
Well, what is it? Let the fans see.
It's
the Super Bowl ring,
okay.
Which, as we've been reminded many, many times, we're very lucky to have. And so we're going to put it back in the sock drawer and start working on another one.
Can this be any better a situation for this Giants team in the fact that most people don't think they're going to even make the playoffs, and this is when they seem to be at their best, when everybody's doubting them?
Well, the one thing they've been great at over the years is either inventing that or relishing it. They just love the idea that people doubt them, and really they are this year. I mean, you think about it, Clay Matthews saying they were basically lucky, Mike McCarthy, Jerry Jones, I mean, on and on and on, and a lot of people really are picking them to finish third or maybe even worse. I think it's ideal for them. It's what they've lived off since 2007.
Paul, we've seen this before, though.
Yeah.
In 2008, they were 11-1 to start the season. They know how to deal with this stuff.
Well, all you have to look at is who's here, who's running the show. You know, Tom Coughlin is this whole hangover, Super Bowl hangover. I mean, you know, that's another one of the words he probably like, comfortable or any of these other words.
Complacent.
There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a Super Bowl hangover. And it is a perfect situation. You know, you talk about build the bridge. That's the new motto. The people on the outside are building the bridge to 9-7. And they're saying that's what the Giants are. Tom Coughlin and the team is saying we're building the bridge to the 6-0. That's what we are. Most people are saying, no, this is a 7-7 team. They were 9-7. Heck, the Redskins beat them twice. So they're saying that's the kind of team they are. You know what? And I think it's fair because, you know, they weren't a dominant team. And in this NFL, the teams that go 14-2 very often don't make the Super Bowl anymore.
I understand that. And if you want to say that they were just 9-7, that's certainly fair. But those last six games counted.
Yes.
They were really 15-7 during the entire season. Yeah. That's a lot of wins. And they're returning, 19 of 22 starters started a bunch of games last year. That's amazing for a defending Super Bowl champion, and it's hard to believe everybody's overlooking you.
In a weird kind of way, 2008 is actually paying dividends mm-hmm. in 2012 because, you know, this preseason, when you people have asked Tom about complacency or repeating or those kinds of standard obligatory questions that a defending champion gets, they're even posed as almost an obligatory question, knowing full well what you just said, that the answer is that no team under Tom Coughlin is going to enter a new season feeling any sort sense of comfort or complacency.
And the stretch run in 2007 was great. The stretch run last year was great. But the best I've seen this current Giants team, you know, this 5 or 6 year window Giants team
play when we
was 2008. The 11-1.
Yeah.
You grinded teams into the ground. It was methodical. It was dominant. That was the best. And that came after a Super Bowl.
Well, the last time we did this, we were sitting in Indianapolis up on that mezzanine level, and I stood up with a sweatshirt on that said finish. I should have put start on the back of my suit jacket today. But as you guys know, that's never been an issue here. I mean, it really has not been an issue. You know, and to your point, you marveled Ralph marveled on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle again for all those people that don't?
It's long. It's my name, R. Vacchiano, NYDN, whatever.
You know, Ralph kept, Ralph kept marveling at the duration that Eli Manning played the other night in the last preseason game against New England. And if you recall, last year, because of a confluence of circumstances, notably a damn hurricane, the starters didn't play in the final preseason game before we opened against Washington. And correct me if I'm wrong, that was easily the worst season opening performance we've put forth under Tom. And so Eli was playing to try to maintain the rhythm that seemed to be missing. That in part, right.
The starting offense looked lousy in the last preseason game.
We didn't play well,
But they did play, and it's better than not playing, I guess.
All right, so what's your what are some of the hot-button concerns that you have for this team, at least to start the season with the opener against the Cowboys on Wednesday?
It's probably the two things that were evident during the 7-7 portion of last year, the running game and the secondary, because those were the two things that turned around the most during that 6-0 finish. We know they have a pass rush. We know they have a quarterback and a passing game. We don't really know what those other two things are. Can the line be what it once was and what it was down the stretch? Can David Wilson pick up the slack from Brandon Jacobs? And obviously, in the secondary at cornerback, there's a gigantic hole with Terrell Thomas done for the season and Prince Amukamara hurt. You're counting on guys that are very untested.
Yeah, cornerback, to me, just is a, you know, Tony Romo is going to look on the field on Wednesday, and he's going to look at Michael Coe, and he's going to throw in his direction. There's just no question about it. That would have been a question.
If he has time to do that.
He gets rid of the ball quickly.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, you don't get sacked on every play, let's face it.
No,
I mean, look, I'm not saying Michael Coe.
We get on a quarterback pretty quick, too.
It's great. But you need three cornerbacks right now. I know you have one. Prince Amukamara will come back. But even if Prince was healthy and there was no high ankle, he would still be the biggest question mark. Because he did very little last year.
Right.
You know, quite frankly, does not show flashes on the field in practice. That's why you drafted this guy number one. Once in a while, but not enough. He won't be ready for the opener. So now you have a bunch of back. Michael Coe's been kicking around the league for a while, has never started a game. So can you get through it? Sure you can get through it. But in the larger picture, that's something that has to be. Look what the Cowboys did. The Cowboys loaded up at cornerback because they got torched by this team last year. So they understand what that's all about.
All right, let's talk about the offensive line a little bit. You talked about the running game. Obviously, Will Beatty has been hurt throughout the course of camp. They signed Sean Locklear, moved David Deal to the right side. Do you get a sense, though, that this group will sort of gel together with some new pieces and guys moved around?
I do, and I get that sense from talking to the linemen who, as you know, will always tell you one of the most important things is chemistry and the ability to work together. That's something they didn't have last year. I mean, guys were in and out of the lineup. They were moving people around, and between that and some injuries that we didn't know about at the time.
Boss was new in the middle.
Boss was new
with
in the middle.
No offseason.
Snee had his elbow. Yeah. Deal had his hand. All those things contributed. Other than the left tackle spot, they've been healthy this summer. They've been playing together this summer. They've had a couple of months to put it all together. I think that alone is going to make them better.
And I'm interested to see, you know, the in the heyday of this offense, it's not the same offensive line, but center and the two guards, you know, Soibert, O'Hara, and Snee, that was a rock-solid group. Smart, physical, could block, could do it all. And I'm, quite frankly, want to see if this group can do it. You know, Boss is coming off a poor first year. There are reasons why, but let's go. It's time. The reasons are gone now.
He played well down the stretch, though.
Well, he needs to play very well. He's making a lot of money. And
he's had a great preseason.
Okay. That's fine.
I know in your film study you picked up on that. He's had a great preseason.
And Snee was hurt, but he needs to get back to Pro Bowl level, which he has been in the past. And, you know, it just remains to be seen. Booth at the other guard spot is, you know, he's a good player, but he was not brought in here to be a starter necessarily. Let's see if that three-man in the middle can really pick up where that other group left off.
You know, one of the things that we've had along the offensive line in the past is not only have we had a solid, consistent first five, we've had some nice depth and versatility. And because of the Beatty back, the Brewer back, we're limited there right now. So that there's a different outlook as we sit here and talk about the offensive line than we've had in a while.
Have these five guys please stay healthy because there's nothing in reserve, basically.
Let me ask you about the receiver.
There's reserve, but the reserve's banged up. So,
all right. Well, let me ask you about the receiver position. Cruz and Nix are known quantities, obviously. Mm-hmm. Just talk about Dominic Kixon coming back from his injury. Had one key fourth down catch against the Jets, but was not that involved. Reuben Randle's a young player, and then you get the Ramses Barden, the last two preseason games, asserted himself.
Yeah, there were good signs out of all of them. Now, I don't know that anybody reached up and seized that third receiver job. It is going to be the breakout star that Victor Cruz was at the beginning of last year. But I think there's some depth there. There's some talent there. Dominic Kixon, I keep remembering what happened back in 2008 after Plaxico shot himself. Dominic Hickson's finish, other than a big drop against the Eagles, was pretty good. His numbers were outstanding. So filling in as a third receiver, I think he can be very productive. I think Reuben Randle is going to be a star at some point in this league. It's a complicated offense for a rookie to pick up, but there's obviously a lot of talent there as well.
I don't know. I'm not so sure. I'm really not.
About what?
About the fact that Mario Manningham did not have a great regular season last year, but he had a great postseason. But every time he was on the field, he was a threat. If you put some schlub against him, some cornerback who can't cover, or some safety, he could burn him. I mean, the guy was a big play waiting to happen. And do you have that this year?
Well,
I don't think Dominic Kixon is that guy. I think I give him all the respect. I think he's a very solid player. He's a good pro. He's got two ACL injuries, and I think he
we've forgotten about Kixon, because there's no question that he was brought along at a very slow pace through
right.
the preseason.
Yeah, and that's
right?
fine.
So we've forgotten about him as a return guy, mm-hmm. and we've forgotten about him as a third receiver.
He's on the team. He's not forgotten. Hey, if he's lying in the weeds, that's great. Let him, the regular season's here.
Well, if he's in the weeds with Reuben Randle and Barden. And Jernigan?
Well, I'm not sure about Barden and Jernigan. I mean, these are guys who need to show you on the field. They've done virtually nothing in their time here. A few preseason games is fine, but let's see. But Randle is future, and the Giants need to know that Kixon right now can be that third guy. It's an important guy, especially since, we're not sure about the tight end right now.
Well, I was just going to add in the tight end, because that's not insignificant.
No.
Eli Manning said Martellus Bennett is one of the, if not the most athletic tight end he's played with the Giants. And I know he didn't do much in Dallas, but he was stuck behind Jason Witten. There's a potential there for him to be a very big receiving threat, maybe bigger than any tight end they've had. He's certainly a better player, I think, than Jake Ballard was. Maybe if he fits in more in the offense, maybe the third receiver isn't that important.
And it's great that it's the first game against the Cowboys, because, the Cowboys, the people in Dallas don't have a lot of good things to say about Martellus Bennett. I mean, he's an engaging guy and everything like that, but he was, he was a draft pick that if he was corresponding to the Giants, he'd be a guy say, look, enough already, get him out of here.
He didn't exactly, his self-review of his time in Dallas isn't. He knows what it was.
Well, he did some things, but the people in Dallas kind of think if there was something that could go wrong on the field, it would be around the Martellus Bennett
area. He's also working with Mike Pope.
Hey.
And he's on a one-year deal.
He's on a one-year deal. The guy's in good shape. He lost a lot of weight. He's not Gronkowski. He's not Jimmy Graham. He doesn't need to catch 80 balls here. He needs to be, we all have these visions of Boss and Ballard, who were very big pieces to Super Bowl teams, but they caught, in the 30s and 40s.
40.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
where the bar is not set crazy here. So if Bennett can do that, as you said, Ralph, physically, he definitely can do it.
I think the players on offense anticipate him being closer to the 60 end than the 30 end. I think that they look at him as a pretty athletic guy who can do things. I mean, Kevin Boss was a straight-ahead receiver. Jake Ballard was limited athletically, and I think we all looked at him last year and thought, how is he doing this? I don't think we're going to think that with Martellus Bennett. I think the talent is obvious.
All right, we're going to wrap it up right now. Sort of your view of how you think this team is going to perform this year and how you think they're going to do against the Cowboys on opening night.
Well, overall, I look at this a lot like I see 2008. I think this is a team that found itself late last year. Those six wins absolutely count. And I think when they carry that confidence over and the knowledge of the offense and defense, they can transform this into an early run. I don't know if they'll be 11-1 off the bat like they were in 2008, but I see them by midseason looking like one of the best teams in the NFL as long as they're still healthy. To me, they should be the best team in the division and at least a threat to win the Super Bowl come the end of the year. Opening night against the Cowboys, that is a very banged-up Cowboys team, a lot of injuries coming in. We don't know the status of guys like Jason Witten, Miles Austin, Dez Bryant. Either way, even with those weapons, the Giants are just a better team be a high-scoring game. I think they'll probably win maybe 35-27.
Paul?
Well, last year I nailed it. I mean, at this time last year, in the New York Post, I wrote the Giants were going to finish 9-7.
You did get that.
I was completely right on that. Well, I mean, the fact that I thought they'd finish second to the Dream Team Eagles and certainly wouldn't make a Super Bowl run, well, 9-7 is what counts, right? You know, that's my bridge I'm building back to last year. But, you know, I think they're a good team. I think the Giants are a good team. I think it's a 10 or 11 win team. I think the Eagles, really, this is the Eagles' year, either put up or shut up. So I kind of think they might squeeze out a division championship out of that. You know, I'm not picking the Giants to go back to the Super Bowl because that's crazy in back-to-back years. No, but I think they're a solid playoff team. As far as the opener, I kind of think the Cowboys may be ready to upset the Giants in the opener. I'm not saying they're a better team than
Super
the Giants.
Super Bowl champions have not lost that game yet.
I know, but they've also never played on a Wednesday.
That's true.
Ever.
All right, so let's put that ring away. We're done.
Let's kick this thing off,
We're going to kick it off Wednesday night, MetLife Stadium. So make sure you join us each and every week right here on Giants.com. For Pat Hanlon and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. And send us your Twitter questions at Giants for next week's show here on Giants.com, the Giants Online Edition.